Best Premium Playing Cards for Cardistry and Collectors, 2026. Hi, this is Yumi. Let us make your next game night a very good one. NOC decks are the best first premium playing cards for cardistry practice because thin crushed USBCC stock handles cleanly, and the price is low enough to wear a deck out without panic. Buy Theory 11 Monarchs when you want the best balance of gift presentation and everyday handling. Virtuoso and flourishing visibility matters most. In King's Wild Project when illustration and limited edition collecting matter more than practice value. Paper stock, finish, cut, humidity and break-in matter more than price once a deck reaches professional print quality. Start with NOC for practice or Theory 11 Monarchs for one beautiful all-purpose deck. Do not assume the most expensive deck will handle best. Rarity gilding and elaborate packaging often raise collector value without improving a spring fan or cut. This guide compares print stock, finish, cut, thickness, design visibility, current availability and the recurring preferences of cardists, magicians and collectors. We checked maker specifications, professional cardistry resources, handling discussions, edition details and exact product availability. Claims about feel are presented as community patterns because humidity, hand size, technique, and break-in change the experience. Yumi can still call a good fan a flower. The practical truth comes first. Buy a deck you are willing to bend. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzle Week at no additional cost to you. What actually makes a deck of cards premium? Let me dispel a sweet little myth first. Price alone makes nothing premium. I've held $40 decks that handled like cardboard and $12 decks that fan like a dream. What makes a deck premium is a marriage of three things, stock, finish and intent. And when all three align, you feel it the instant you break the cellophane. Stock is the paper itself. The two great houses of the playing card world are the United States Playing Card Company, USBCC in Kentucky, and the Expert/Cardamundi European Presses, often called EPCC. USBCC's casino-grade papers, bicycle stock, B-stock, tally-ho stock, are the bedrock of the hobby. They carry a thin layer of black or gray core between the two printed faces, which keeps the cards opaque, no peeking through to the face, and gives them their characteristic snap. Stock can be standard weight, thin crushed, run through extra rollers so it's a touch slimmer and more flexible, or the dense European German black core papers prized for durability. Thinner stock generally spreads and fans more easily. Thicker stock feels sturdier and survives more abuse. Finish is the texture pressed and varnished onto the surface, and here lies one of the loveliest open secrets in the hobby. Air cushion finish, bicycle, linot finish, tally-ho, and cambric finish, B are different brand names for what is today essentially the same USBCC embossing. A grid of microscopic dimples rolled into the paper before printing. Those dimples trap tiny pockets of air between cards, dropping the friction so a fan blooms evenly and a spread glides clean. As one reviewer put it plainly, the embossing simply means the paper has dimples to reduce friction for the best handling. The varnish on top, a dex coating, then tunes the slip versus grip balance. Intent is the soul of it. A premium deck is designed by someone who handles cards with court cards, a custom ace of spades, jokers, and a back design built to look stunning in motion. That's the difference between a tool and an heirloom. When those three meet, you're holding something special, and your fingers will tell you so before your eyes ever do. The brand name finish secret, don't agonize over air cushion versus linot versus cambric. On modern USBCC decks, these are marketing labels for an identical embossing. The metal roller that presses the dimples is the same. The real handling difference between decks comes from stock thickness and the varnish coating, not the finish name. USBCC versus EPCC cardists debate the two great presses endlessly. USBCC, Bicycle B Tally-Ho, tends toward a softer, broken-in feel with a forgiving snap. EPCC, Cardamundi/Expert, decks often arrive stiffer and crisper with very flat, consistent cards. Neither is better, it's a matter of which feels like home in your hands. How does handling differ for cardistry, fanning, springs, and cuts? Here is the heart of why cardists fuss over decks the way sommeliers fuss over glassware. For someone playing poker, a deck need only shuffle and deal. For a cardist, every card is a moving part in a kinetic sculpture, and three motions reveal a deck's true character almost instantly. The fan is the bloom, that elegant arc you spread across your palm. A good cardistry deck fans even the asterisk, each card peeking out by the same sliver with no clumps and no gaps. This is where finish matters most. Too much friction and the cards stick into ugly bunches, too little and they slide into a sloppy heap. The A striping printed on the backs of cardistry specific decks, NOC's signature feature, for instance, exists precisely so the eye catches a clean, dazzling fan rather than a muddy one. The spring is the waterfall, cards cascading from one hand to the other in a controlled arc, snapping past your fingertip with that gorgeous riffling sound. Springs demand the right balance of flexibility and snap. Thin, crushed stock springs more readily and forgivingly. This is why so many cardists reach for thinner decks. As one community reviewer noted, a thinner stock makes a deck incredibly easy to spread, spring, shuffle, and fan. A deck that's too stiff fights the spring. One that's too soft has no life and the cards flutter dead. The cut and the aerial, packets sliding, rotating, and flying between fingers. Ask for cards that move freely against each other yet stay together when grouped. This is the slip and grip paradox at the center of a true cardistry finish. Enough slip for clean spreads, enough grip that packet holds as one when you toss it into the air. The wonderful truth, many of the very best handling decks are also the most affordable. The Vert's Virtuoso, NOC and Orbit, three darlings of the flourishing world, all hover in the low teens. Handling, it turns out, is not something you can simply buy your way into. It's something the maker designs in. Hold a deck, spread one fan, and you'll know within a heartbeat whether it loves to dance. Thinner stock equals friendlier flourishes if you're chasing fans, springs, and aerials. Lean toward thin-crushed stock decks. NOC Virtuoso Orbit Fonten. They flex and spread with far less effort. Save the stiffer, premium stock collector decks for display and gentler handling. You'll fight them less and bloom prettier fans. Aesthetics amplify the art theory 11 forum veteran Ender's Game put it beautifully. Decks designed specifically for cardistry not only handle beautifully, but also have visual aesthetics that make even average card flourishes look incredible. A coordinated back design turns a simple fan into a spectacle. Which deck should a beginner reach for first? Oh, this is my favorite question to answer, because the honest answer saves you so much money and so much guilt. When you're learning to fan and spring, you will asterisk abuse your cards. You'll bend them past their happy point, sweat on them, drop them on the floor, increase the corners of 100 of them before your hands learn their gentleness. So your first serious deck should be one you can love hard and replace cheaply. The community's near unanimous answer is NOC, made by the Blue Crown, Alex Pandria's house, with House of Playing Cards. NOC stands for the quiet philosophy of the line, a minimal, elegant, no fuss. And since 2012 it has become the workhorse of cardists and magicians alike. They're printed on USBCC's thin crush stock, which springs and fans with a forgiving ease, and the back carries subtle edge striping that makes even a wobbly beginner's fan look crisp and intentional. At roughly $9 to $13, you can keep a brick of them on your shelf and never wince when one wears the feathers. If NOC isn't a hand, the community offers gracious alternatives. Tally-ho circle backs earn endless praise as a budget classic. One forum regular called them way more durable than standard bikes and also pretty cheap. With a linoleum finish that hands adapt to quickly. Bicycle standards, the rider back are the eternal baseline. Air cushion finish, endlessly available, a few dollars, and the deck on which virtually every flourish was first invented. Anterior 11's Monarchs and Artisans, while a touch pricier, handle so kindly that beginners often graduate straight to them. My gentle counsel, buy a brick, a dozen decks of NOC or Tally-ho. Practice freely. Don't reach for your beautiful collector decks until your hands have learned not to maul them. There's a quiet joy in a deck you're not afraid to ruin. Learn your fans on the humble decks, and save the gilded ones for the night your hands are ready. Blue Monarch's cards fan showing the gold foil Curtis Jenkins back design. Buy a brick, not a single, a brick is 12 decks. For practice decks like NOC, Tally-ho or Bicycle Standard, buying a brick drops the per deck cost and means you'll always have a fresh one when your current deck wears out and beginners wear them out fast. Tally-ho, the budget darling Theory 11 forum user Ken Chaoslin recommended Tally-ho circle backs as way more durable than standard bikes and also pretty cheap. With a lean out finish, the hands adapt quickly, a perennial favorite for learners on a budget. What makes a deck worth collecting and displaying? Now we turn from the practice table to the shelf, from the instrument to the artwork. And here the conversation changes entirely. A collector's deck is a small published edition, a piece of design you'll display far more often than you'll shuffle. The qualities that matter shift toward the visual and the precious. The artwork, the printing, the box, the edge treatment, and the scarcity. No one embodies this better than King's Wild Project, the brand of American designer Jackson Robinson. Robinson draws like an old-world engraver. His court cards and back designs evoke vintage banknotes, treasure maps, and steel-engraved currency, every line obsessively detailed. Most King's Wild decks are printed by USBCC, often with gilded edges, gold or silver leaf applied to the card edges, foil-stamped tuck boxes, and limited print runs that make them genuine collectibles. His bicycle legal tender even shipped as part of USBCC's official bicycle designer series. Collectors follow his work worldwide, and decks like Eldorado or his Texas Luxury Edition are as much objects as playing cards. The other great collector pillars are the limited edition release brands. Theory 11's editorial collaborations and luxury editions. Their monarchs were even featured on screen in Now You See Me, come in genuinely breathtaking boxes with gold foil and embossing. Orbit decks number their print runs. V4 was limited to 23,000, and have a devoted following who chase each new V release. Fontaine has built an entire hype culture around scarcity decks that sell out in hours and resell for multiples. And Chris Ramsey's first line is famous for vanishing fast. His first V2 sold its 30,000 deck run in 13 hours. With foil banding USBCC had never attempted before. A word from the heart though, the loveliest collector decks are often asterisk terrible to flourish with, stiff, precious, and far too beautiful to risk. That's perfectly all right. Some decks are made to be danced, others are made to be admired under glass with a cup of tea nearby. Buy the artwork that makes your heart catch, and if it never leaves its box, it's still earning its place on your shelf. Gilded edges and print runs, two things separate a collector deck from a player. Gilded edges, gold silver leaf on the card edges, which seals the deck like a tiny book, and a stated limited print run. Sealed low numbered gilt-edged decks hold value best, but once you open or shuffle them, that collectible premium largely evaporates. The prettiest decks are often the worst handler's heresy in some circles, but true. Heavily gilded, stiff collector decks frequently flourish poorly, the edge gilding can stick and the stock is often firm. Don't buy a King's Wild showpiece expecting NOC-grade springs. Buy it for the art, flourish with something cheaper. Are plastic cards better than paper for premium decks? Oh, the eternal tableside debate, and one I'm delighted to settle with grace rather than dogma, because the honest answer is it depends entirely on what you're doing with them. Plastic cards like Bicycle Prestige, which is 100 PVC, are essentially indestructible by paper standards. They're waterproof, they don't absorb the oils and moisture from your hands, they shrug off spilled drinks, and they last for years of hard play. One poker group reported playing with Prestige decks for 9 years, and wearing the finish off only 3 of them in all that time. For a weekly poker night, a pool deck, or a household that's rough on cards, plastic is genuinely the sensible, durable choice. Bicycle even engineers Prestige with an air cushion finish and markets it as the rare plastic deck with a paper-like feel. And yet, and you knew an end yet was coming for cardistry and collecting, paper reigns almost without contest. Here's why. Cardistry lives on the asterisk, snap, asterisk, and flex of paper. The way a paper card bends into a spring and recoils, the crisp riffle of a fan, the precise way packets sit. Plastic cards handle differently. Reviewers consistently describe Prestige as a bit slick. And while the cards are nearly impossible to tear, they're easy to accidentally bend into a permanent warp because plastic doesn't recover its flatness the way good paper does. They lack the lively, recoiling snap that makes a paper spring sing. And for collectors, plastic simply isn't the medium. The engraved artistry, the gilded edges, the limited tuck boxes all belong to the paper tradition. There's also a third path worth knowing. High-end plastic-coated paper isn't a thing in the premium world, but the closest equivalent, durable European German black core paper stock, gives you much of paper's lovely snap with extra longevity, and many cardists adore it for exactly that reason. My counsel then, keep a plastic prestige deck in the drawer for game nights and rainy patios. But for the dance of a flourish and the beauty of a collection, let it be paper, always. Plastic endures. Paper sings asterisk, choose by which music you mean to make. King's Wild Legal Tender Holographic Tuck Case, Banknote Engraving Art by Jackson Robinson. When plastic genuinely wins, choose 100 Plastic Bicycle Prestige. KEM, Carpag, for poker night, pool beach play, kids or anywhere cards get wet or hard use. They're waterproof and last for years. Just know they're slicker, prone to permanent bends and not built for springs, fans or display. 9 years, 3 decks of frequently cited durability anecdote. One poker group reported playing with Bicycle Prestige plastic decks for 9 years and wearing a finish off only 3 decks in all that time. A testament to plastic's longevity for play, though not for flourishing. How do you break in a new deck so it handles like a dream? This is the secret ritual no one tells beginners, and it transforms a stiff, slippery new deck into a responsive partner in about 10 quiet minutes. A factory fresh deck is *2* slick. The cards slide unpredictably and won't sit together properly, and the gilded or coated surface needs to be gently worked until friction settles into that perfect broken-in balance. Breaking in a deck is, to my mind, a small meditative pleasure, like seasoning a cast-iron pan or breaking in a pair of good shoes. The community's method is wonderfully simple. Begin by aerating. Hold the deck as if starting a spring, squeeze both ends gently toward each other so it bows into a soft C-shape, and let a cushion of air slip between every card. Do this a few times in both directions, face up and face down, so the deck learns to flex evenly rather than warping one way. Then riffle shuffle, not to randomize, but to let each card slide smoothly over its neighbor while flexing, which loosens the surface and settles the friction. The Faro Shuffle is the connoisseur's tool here. A Faro perfectly interlaces the two halves card for card, and it does a marvelous job of breaking a deck to usable condition and making the cards, as one guide lovely puts it, more obedient and less slippery. A charming bonus. On a fresh deck in new deck order, the center split point is unusually easy to find, often falling right between the King of Clubs and King of Diamonds. Finish with springs and fans in both directions, repeating the whole little cycle, aerate, riffle, faro, spring, fan until the deck feels alive in your hands. 10 minutes is usually all it takes. A tender warning, do this gently. Breaking in is about asterisk working the cards, never asterisk forcing asterisk them. Bend too hard and you'll set a permanent crease, and a creased card haunts every fan it appears in. Patience here is its own reward. Treat the first 10 minutes as a small ceremony and your deck will thank you for the whole of its life. Bicycle Rider Back, the world's most recognized card back in continuous USBCC production since 1885. The 10-minute break-in cycle aerate, bow into a C both directions, then riffle shuffle a few times, then one or two faro shuffles, then springs face up and face down, then fans both ways. Repeat the loop for tilde 10 minutes. The deck moves from slippery stiff to responsive broken in. Work the cards gently, never force a hard bend. Find the faro split fast on a new deck on a factory deck still in new deck order. The center split for a faro is unusually easy to locate. For most standard decks, it sits right between the King of Clubs and King of Diamonds. Use that to learn the faro without fighting the cut. Where should you buy premium decks and how do you avoid fakes? A gracious word on the marketplace. Because the premium card world has its own little geography of trusted shops. And sadly, its share of counterfeits, since popular decks like Fontaine and Bicycle have been widely faked. The safest path is always to buy from the maker directly or from established specialty retailers. For house brands, that means the maker's own storefronts. Theory 11 store, Fontaine site, The Verts 52 cards for Virtuoso, The Blue Crown for NOC Orbit's shop, King's Wild Project and Illusionist. These guarantee authenticity and current editions. For breadth across many brands, the community trusts shops like Vanishing Ink, 52 Cards, Playing Card Decks, Penguin Magic, and Art of Play, along with reputable hobby specialists. These are where reviewers and forum members point newcomers, and where you'll find honest descriptions of stock and finish. For out-of-print and collector editions, the secondary market, eBay, dedicated reseller sites and collector marketplaces is unavoidable, and here you must shop with a little more care. A genuine limited edition will have a clear print run number, sharp foil and embossing on the box, and a seller with a real reputation. Counterfeits betray themselves in muddy printing, slightly off box colors, missing seals, and prices that seem too lovely to be true. When a sealed deck from a sold-out run is offered far below the going collector rate, that's not a bargain, that's a warning. A practical kindness to yourself. Prices on limited editions fluctuate constantly, and sellouts are the rule, not the exception in this hobby. The figures I've shared throughout are typical recent retail, marked with a gentle to remind you they drift. A deck that was $15 at release may be $80 on the secondary market a year later, and the reverse happens too. Buy the imprint decks while they're in print. For the rest, patience and a trusted seller are your truest companions. Shop with the makers, trust the established houses, and let scarcity be a thing you enjoy rather than chase too desperately. Trusted houses to start with for authenticity. Buy imprint decks from the makers Theory 11, Fonten, The Vert / 52 Cards, The Blue Crown Orbit, King's Wild, Illusionist, or established multi-brand shops, Vanishing Ink, 52 Cards, Playing Card Decks, Penguin Magic, Art of Play. These guarantee genuine current editions. Fonten and Bicycle are heavily counterfeited because they're hype-driven and ubiquitous. Fonten and Standard Bicycle decks are among the most faked in the hobby. On the secondary market, scrutinize foil sharpness, box color accuracy, seals and seller reputation, and treat a too cheap sealed limited with deep suspicion. Final verdict. So dear guest, as the tea cools and the cards lie spread between us, here is my warm summation. For the one deck to do it all, to fan beautifully, sit lovely on a shelf and never embarrass you, let it be Theory 11's Monarchs, gold foil grace at a kind price. For learning the dance, reach without hesitation for NOC by the Blue Crown. A thin crushed workhorse you can buy by the brick, wear to feathers, and love without a single pang of guilt. For the collector's heart, the deck you'll admire under glass, nothing surpasses King's Wild Project, where Jackson Robinson's engraved, gilded artistry turns 54 cards into a small published treasure. And for the very best value, the Vert's Virtuoso and the Orbit decks prove the loveliest secret of this whole gentle hobby. That magnificent handling is something a maker designs in, not something you must buy your way toward. Whichever you choose, break it in slowly, share its fans with someone you love, and treat each beautiful deck for what it truly is, a small art object, made to be admired and passed from hand to hand. Come back anytime, there's always a fresh deck on my table. Frequently asked questions. What makes a playing card premium? A premium deck combines quality stock, a low-friction finish, and intentional design. It's printed on casino-grade paper, Bicycle, Be Your Tallyho stock from USBCC, or dense European stock from EPC/Cardamundi, with an embossed air cushion finish that lets cards fan spring and spread cleanly. And it's designed by someone who actually handles cards, custom courts, Ace of Spades, Jokers, and a back that looks beautiful in motion. Price alone doesn't make a deck premium. Many of the best handling decks are also among the cheapest. What's the best deck for a cardistry beginner? It's printed on USBCC thin crush stock that springs and fans with forgiving ease, the edge striping makes fans look crisp, and it's cheap enough to buy by the brick and wear out without guilt. Tallyho circle backs and plain Bicycle standards are excellent budget alternatives. Learn on decks you're not afraid to ruin, then graduate to nicer ones once your hands are gentle. What's the best deck for collecting? King's Wild Project, Jackson Robinson is the gold standard for collector decks. USBCC printed, frequently gilded edged, foil boxed, and released in limited runs with engraved banknote inspired artwork. Other strong collector lines include Theory 11's luxury editions, numbered Orbit releases, Fonten hype driven scarcity, and Chris Ramsay's fast selling first line. For value retention, buy sealed low numbered gilt edged decks. But know that opening or shuffling them largely removes the collectible premium. What is air cushion finish? Air cushion finish is the texture on Bicycle cards, a grid of microscopic dimples pressed into the paper before printing. Those dimples trap tiny pockets of air between cards, reducing friction so they glide, fan evenly, and spread cleanly. Here's the open secret, air cushion Bicycle, Linot, Tallyho, and Cambric. B are different brand names for what is on modern USB-C decks and essentially identical embossing. The real handling differences between decks come from stock thickness and varnish, not the finish name. Are plastic cards better than paper? It depends entirely on use. Plastic cards like 100 PVC Bicycle Prestige are waterproof, nearly indestructible, and ideal for poker night, kids, or poolside. One group reported 9 years of play on Prestige decks. But for cardistry and collecting, paper wins almost without contest. Paper has the lively snap and recoil that springs and fans depend on, while plastic plays slicker and can take a permanent bend. And the engraved art, gilded edges, and limited boxes of collector decks all belong to the paper tradition. What's the best value premium deck? You genuinely don't need to spend much to handle beautifully. Several reasons stack up: custom design and artist royalties, premium printing, foil embossing, custom quartz, special treatments like gilded edges and elaborate tuck boxes, small limited print runs, and frankly, brand hype and scarcity. A King's Wild deck's gilding and engraving genuinely cost more to produce. A sold-out Fontaine's resale price is pure demand. What stock do professional cardists use? Pros gravitate toward thin or thin-crushed USB-CC stock for its forgiving spring and clean fans. Decks like Virtuoso, NOC Orbit, and Fontaine are perennial favorites. Tallyho Linear stock is another classic for its durability and snap. Some prefer dense European German black core stock for extra longevity with good snap. There's no single pro stock. It comes down to personal feel, but the common thread is a thinner, well-broken-in card that springs and spreads with minimal effort. How do you break in a new deck? Spend about 10 minutes working it gently. Aerate the deck, bow it into a soft C-shape in both directions to slip air between cards. Riffle shuffle several times, do a feral shuffle or two, which makes cards more obedient and less slippery. Then spring and fan in both directions. Repeat the cycle until it feels alive. On a fresh new deck order pack, the feral split is easy to find, often between the King of Clubs and King of Diamonds. Work the cards, never force a hard bend, which sets a permanent crease. What's the best deck for fans and springs specifically? Reach for thin crush stock. Virtuoso, built specifically for cardistry with a geometric back that amplifies fans. NOC edge striping makes fans pop, springs forgivingly. Fontaine, famously springy and broken in feeling, and Orbit spreads and springs with ease. The common thread is thin, flexible stock plus a clean finish. A well broken in deck of any of these will fan evenly and spring like a soft waterfall, and the edge striped geometric backs make the motion look twice as impressive. Where should you buy premium decks? Buy imprint decks from the makers. Directly Theory 11 Fontaine, the Vert/52 cards, the Blue Crown, Orbit, King's Wild, Illusionist, or from established multi-brand shops, Vanishing Ink. 52 cards, playing card decks, Penguin Magic, Art of Play. These guarantee authenticity. For out-of-print and limited editions, you'll use the secondary market, eBay, collector sites. There, scrutinize foil sharpness, box color, seals, and seller reputation. Fontaine and Bicycle are heavily counterfeited, so a sealed limited sold far below the going rate is a red flag, not a bargain. Do premium cards actually last longer? Premium paper decks generally handle better and feel better, but they don't necessarily last longer than a good Bicycle standard thin-crushed cardistry stock. Actually wears out faster with heavy practice, which is exactly why cardists buy cheap practice decks by the brick. If outright longevity is your goal, 100 plastic decks, Bicycle Prestige, far outlast any paper deck, years of play versus weeks or months. The trade-off is that plastic sacrifices the snap, spring, and beauty that make premium paper decks a joy to flourish and collect.